This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Well, hello, one and all, and welcome to This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm. Today we break down the events of May 4th. Tony Hubert with you, my partner as always, Armand Kachigian, and we are brought to you by Amazon.com and Audible.com here on the lineupmedia.fm network, home to about 50 podcasts, including our friends at Surreal Talk, which I understand, Armand, you will be making a guest appearance for an upcoming show about
this Saturday, 3 o'clock science. Central Time.
Yes. So that'll be
the death of science.
That'll be the May 5th show, will probably be out on Saturday, May the 5th, or Sunday, May the
6th. It'll be live.
You can see it live as well. You can watch it on YouTube, Facebook.
Or Facebook. Yeah. I don't know what you're watching on.
You'll be talking about the death of science. I love it.
You can see my pulchritudinous visage live.
I don't want to see any of your visage.
You can see everything.
So please keep your
visage. Just ask. I'll take my shirt off.
Please keep your visage to yourself.
See that manly torso.
Well, you are a svelte fella. You do keep yourself in shape. He does, folks. He really does.
What a nice thing to say.
Armand only eats one meal a day, and it's usually fairly light.
No, it isn't. Not today. It's buffet day.
Okay, and he keeps himself well hydrated with a cocktail of
creatine.
Nitric what else
oxide.
You got in there?
Okay,
nitric oxide.
What else do I put in there? I don't know. We're under time constraints. I have several things.
You should have your own health show.
I don't know how healthy I am.
Well, I think you're going to live longer than most guys in your ballpark.
Still can't get laid.
All right. Hey, don't forget, subscribe to this. You can subscribe to this podcast, This Day in History. Very simple. Go to thisdayinhistorypodcast.com and click one of the three ways to subscribe. You can subscribe through iTunes, which is now called Apple Podcast. Stitcher, Podbean, any number of ways. Like us on Facebook as well, facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast. And also on Twitter, history_podcast. And also, you can follow us on Instagram. All right, May the 4th.
Oh, yeah, I also put Super Beets in here, and I put some...
Super Beets?
Yeah, and I put some of that extract of all those vegetable things, you know, you get.
Like a V8?
Yeah, but it's like a powder. I put it in there. You know, the essentials are cannabinoids.
I thought my cannabinoids were removed.
Yes, you look a little cannabinoidal deficient.
All right. May the 4th, the events.
All right.
Who was born? Who kicked the bucket? Armand, I got to tell you up front, I need help.
1415.
I need help on birthdays and deaths today. I just, two things. I either didn't know who they were or I didn't like them.
Yeah. All right.
I start in 1471.
No, I got 1415.
Armand, you start in 1415.
We talked about this. The death of Jan Hus.
Jan Hus?
Yeah, the Council of Constance, which they got together. And, you know, there was the schism, the Great Schism. We had a pope in France, Avignon. French popes.
And we had the
papal. Can you think of anything more disgusting?
Than a French pope?
Yeah. Well, an Argentinian pope.
No,
but anyway,
stop
it's
it.
A socialist, yes. Anyway, he wasn't that bad.
I hope that Pope Francis walks in here
on water
and absolves you of all your misery.
I'm gonna give him a break though. I think he was. I liked what he tried to. He tried to save that English kid.
Yes, he did.
Alfie.
He's also making the cat from the Vatican one of the cardinals. There's no absolution there. That guy's standing trial for his pedophilia.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, fine. That's good. Well, they had to burn him at the stake like they did Jan Hus. He was a reformist,
yes.
And you know what happens to them?
They go out in a blaze.
Well, like 70 years later, of course, we talked about our friend with the 95 theses.
Yeah, that would be Mr. Luther.
Martin Luther was going to another one of these councils, ecumenical councils, and he took his bodyguards with him. So he wasn't
hey,
stupid.
Hey, Marty! Where are you going? Ecumenical Council. Why all those guys with you?
Yeah.
There could be trouble at the Ecumenical Council.
Hans and Franz. So, yeah, anyway, this guy, yeah, we promise. You know, we're just going to question you. You know, it's not no big deal. No problem. So, okay, you want to reform the church?
Was Bob Mueller involved in this at all?
Yeah, McCabe. So, yeah, get the firewood, as one of our deaths today would say. You want to be burned at the stake, or you want your head cut off?
Yeah, get the firewood.
A hot steak is better than a cold chop. So they burned him good. But he was singing hymns all the way to the end. Now there is a martyr. And they didn't like John Wycliffe either, the Englishman, but he was too smart to show up, so they didn't get him. That was 1415.
1415.
Council of Constance.
I got to tell you, anytime.
Boy, don't get those Catholics pissed off.
No. If I was ever invited to an ecumenical council, I'd just pass.
I'd get on my knees.
Pass.
I'd go, yes, ma'am. Son is wrote, you know, whatever revolves you say around the earth.
Whatever you say.
That's right.
We live on Mars? You got it.
No. The earth is the center of everything.
All right. 1471.
We're going to talk about the death of science Saturday. So
heliocentric?
That may come up.
Or geocentric.
Yeah, the geocentric.
Geocentric.
Well, if it's going to save my ass, yeah.
Yeah. 1471, you've heard it before.
In fact, we talked about this bad.
There's been movies
well,
using this name that don't have anything to do with it. But the famous Michael Douglas and that broad from Romancing the Stone.
Kathleen Turner?
Yes. Yes, they did a
movie. Oh, you mean the War of the Roses?
Yes,
I thought you meant the Battle of Tewksbury.
No, the War of the Roses.
Battle of Tewksbury was depicted in Henry VI, Part 3.
Henry VI, Part
Which is fitting because it was the end of Henry VI. Well, they send him to the tower.
So this is the day that the Battle of Tewksbury occurs during the War of the Roses. Edward IV.
1471.
1471 defeats the Lancastrian
Army.
Edward
IV being House of York, of course, and with a little help from Robert Warwick, the Kingmaker. Not Robert, Richard Neville.
Earl of Warwick, the Kingmaker.
Warwick is an actor I just watched in The Adventures of Robin Hood.
Oh, there you go. So the Lancastrian army defeated Edward of Westminster,
York,
the Prince of Wales, dead.
The only heir to the throne to be killed in battle. That's a good trivia question. His name was...
is amazing,
yeah, his
to
name
be quite
was
honest.
Edward Westminster, by the way. He was the son of Henry VI, the only son of Henry VI. And Elizabeth Woodville, that's what you get for marrying a commoner. That pissed off the kingmaker. And there we have war. Anyway, Henry didn't die at this battle. He died in the tower, apparently of woe or a broken heart. I think it was probably a mace to the back of his head. They don't know what exactly it was, but I think he had a little help.
Died in the tower, huh?
In the tower, yeah.
Saw a picture from London the other day, one of the metropolitan sanitation workers. They pulled out a 12-pound rat.
Oh, did you see? Well,
the thing
out of
was,
where?
The thing.
The tower?
No, somewhere around there,
I'm sure there's plenty of
12 pounds. The thing looked like
bigger than a
ground chuck or a woodchuck.
Did you see that video on YouTube about the lady in New York? They're trying to kill the rats, but trying to do it, they're trying to do it with mercifully. So they're using CO2. And the thing, they dropped a pellet in there, and the thing just ran out. She's trying to stomp on it. It's hilarious.
They've got
a big rat problem in New York.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's getting worse. It's horrible.
Well, put the alligators back in the sewers, man.
Sorry with me.
Yeah,
that'll
take care of that rat problem. Mm-hmm. I read of something else. You spoke about cats. There was some place I was just reading.
Put, what is it, J. Alfred Prufrock
in
there.
No, they keep like 20 cats in the facility just to deal with the mice.
Which facility?
I don't know. I got to go find
it. Tower?
Yeah.
Because anybody. That's a good idea.
But here's the thing. Like a lot of sports arenas, stadiums all over the world, not just here in America, have stadium cats.
Yeah.
And they will reside in the arena or stadium. And they will, after everyone leaves, they come on out because there's all that garbage. In come the mice and rats. And then they go. And one stadium, to keep pigeons away, they bring in hawks. And the hawk will fly around the stadium for a day on an off day, and that'll keep the pigeons away for about a month. And then a month later, they bring the hawk back.
The other day, speaking of stadiums, what was the original name of Wembley Stadium?
Empire Stadium.
Empire's name? All right. So in 1923, this was a bit of Empire Stadium.
Yeah.
It was the only FA Cup winner that's not in England.
It would be a Welsh team, I'm guessing.
Cardiff, yeah.
Cardiff.
They call it, I think, the White Horse game or whatever.
Okay.
Some cop, they had a picture of the cop on a white horse keeping the crowd back or something.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, it was Cardiff. Yeah.
Yeah.
1923.
Well, did they mean cop COP or cop KOP?
What do you mean?
Well, like terraces for English football, you know, are based, or like when you, terrace meaning when they would just make a mound of dirt and seat about 10,000, not even seat, but stand about 10,000 people or so on it. Those are generally called cops, and that's after, I believe, the Boer War in South Africa.
You mean
where they had to go up spying cop. Spy on cop?
Oh.
S-P-I-O-N
yeah,
cop?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So that's why.
Yeah.
That's why.
That's
Liverpool,
like a rampart.
It's like a rampart, right.
That's what it is.
That's why
yeah.
Liverpool still has cop end and other places.
Okay, yeah, right. Spion cop. Yeah, there's a battle. Yeah. Okay, that's
spien
right. Spion
cop, not spy on. Spion
cop. Yeah,
there you
we've
go.
Talked about that on this show.
Yeah. Boer War, right? Yeah,
that's correct.
Now,
second, I think.
Next up is one of the biggest events, I think, in shaping of the New World. This also got me out of big trouble in Portugal one night. On this date, May the 4th, 1493. So Columbus has sailed on over to the Americas. Spain and Portugal both have a claim to the New World, though. But Pope Alexander VI, in his infinite wisdom, decides to draw a line of demarcation.
Alexander, was he one of the Medicis?
Nah.
Yeah, he might have been. I think he was a Medici.
Well, it worked out well for Spain, I'll tell you that. He draws a line of demarcation right down the middle of what they think the Americas are. Unfortunately, everything to the right of that line goes to Portugal, which is essentially the tip of Brazil. Everything to the left goes to Spain.
God, I should
a Borgia?
Yeah,
okay.
It's Borgia, Alejandro Borgia. Rodrigo de Borgia, yeah.
You can't overstate the impact this had on the New World. If Portugal gets one side and Spain gets the other.
Yeah, but I don't know if this wasn't until the Treaty of Tordesillas, I think, annulled this.
Well,
I think that was later.
May have annulled it, but the damage was done.
Yeah, Treaty of Tordesillas.
So
I'm
in Lisbon one night after.
Yeah, 1494. So that replaced this. Yes.
So
they got back a lot of it.
They got back Brazil, essentially.
And then, right. And
but that's
got,
about it.
Well, then they did the Treaty of Zaragoza on the other side of the world.
Well, that's true.
Split the rest of
it. Yeah, because they did
the East Indies and all that shit.
Yeah.
So there's two of them. But anyway,
they did get
right,
Macau.
So, okay.
But boy.
So you escaped and my girlfriend's in jail.
Well,
you happy?
We picture a young Portuguese socialist in your mind. No. And here we are after a football match, Portugal versus England, European Cup, huge match. We're eating dinner in a restaurant.
I'm for Portugal.
Yeah, and they won that night.
Good.
It was something. And it's about 3 a.m., and we're just sitting down to dinner. You know, they like to eat late.
I know. It's crazy.
That's a little late, but and these guys strike up a conversation, and it turns to, well, you're Americans, and you're here watching Portugal versus England? Who the hell you think you are? Kind of got a little heated. He goes, what do you know about our history?
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, oh, crap. And then it just,
your mouth
Armand,
shut.
It just came
about
to
the Battle of
Tewksbury. It came to me in a flash. I said, oh, I know enough about Portuguese history to know the Pope screwed you guys over in 1493. And after that, we were best friends.
Ah, fast friends. All right. Well, I hope they win this year, but I don't think they will.
They're going to be good.
I hope so.
They're going to be good. 1626, another deal.
Whew.
One for the ages.
Well, not yet. I think he just arrived.
He just arrives, yeah. But he
didn't screw him.
He's
yet.
Got the glass beads already.
Yeah.
Peter Minuit, the Dutch explorer, he sets up a camp and arrives in a little place called New Netherland. We know it better as Manhattan Island, and he arrives aboard a ship called the Sea Mew.
Listen
to this, Armand. S E E.
Well, Z. Yeah, I mean, I would imagine it's probably the C.
M E E.
What the hell that means?
W.
It's got to mean something in
that's
Dutch.
That's the
huh?
ship from the new from the old world that pulls up in New York Harbor, Manhattan Island.
Some kind of bird. It looks like.
And it won't be long after that the first real estate deal is done on Manhattan Island.
It's a lark.
A lark. Yeah, very good.
Something like that. Laridae, family of sea. It's not a lark. A family of seabirds in the order Charydriformes.
I got to tell you.
Gulls, terns, and skimmers.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
I would love to see Manhattan island in its pristine form. Because if you, when you go through Central Park and you see the geology there, you're like, man, this was really quite an interesting place.
I'd rather see the Freedom Tower in Yankee Stadium. You can have the geology. You want to see geology, go to the Grand Canyon.
I'm going in June.
Yeah.
1776. Who was the first colony to tell old King George III, we renounce our allegiance to you? Who was the first?
The colony with the longest name.
Rhode Island.
And the Providence Plantations.
And the Providence Plantations. Yeah. 1776, May the 4th.
All right. Also, he was going nuts anyway.
Yeah, the madness was setting in. Was he starting to piss blue at that
point? I think he was all right. They didn't have the porphyria yet, but I think...
That's porphyria,
I think it was porphyria that got him, yeah. But Lord North, he...
You ever watch that Madness of King George when they show that scene? Woof, that's weird. 1814, we go to Porto Ferreira. The island of Elba, guess who arrives to begin his exile?
He's short, he's French, and he conquered Europe.
Yes, Napoleon, the emperor, he does arrive on Elba, and his exile begins.
He had piles, too.
May the 4th, 1814.
But he's not done yet.
Oh,
he's
no.
He's coming back.
This will not be his Waterloo.
No, won't even be his St. Helena.
No, it won't. 1871, the National Association. Hey, it's our first professional baseball league in America. Their first season, and they open up play in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Is that the one that the Red Legs won like 160 straight games or something?
They may have.
I don't know.
So this is just after the Civil War, six years. The National Association, you had the American Association. 1876, 5 years later, the National League
that's the one we all
would
know.
Be formed. And now teams from the American Association and would eventually drift into the National League. And you get the American League forming officially in, what is it, 1901? One?
Well, in First World Series, 1903.
Yeah.
Then the Federal League.
They didn't last long,
but not good idea. You still got to read You Know Me, Al, by Ring Lardner.
I haven't read that. No, I haven't.
It's hilarious.
I'm really behind on all reading things right now. 1886. This is a big one.
Anarchy.
This is anarchy. Yes, indeed, Armand. A bomb
this
thrown.
Be anarchy, make the best of it.
A bomb thrown at policemen who are trying to break up a rally in Chicago. What type of rally would that be, Armand?
What do you think it is?
It's labor rally.
Just socialist
something,
labor.
Something Armand would have been right in the middle of.
I would have thrown the bomb. Not the cops.
Anyway, the bomb kills 8, wounds 60. This is better known as the Haymarket Affair.
I don't know what the hell they're doing on May 4th. That should have been May 1st.
Shouldn't have been.
Labor Day.
Was May 1st International Labor Day at that point?
Yeah.
Okay. In 1886?
I think so, yeah.
Well, this is also
kind of a traditional.
You got the police firing into the crowd as well.
Well, we got another incident like that
and,
today.
And this is a precursor to 1968, where Chicago.
Well, here again, you know how I feel about this. This is when the labor movement, it took some guts to have the labor movement.
Well, I did say the other day on our show, Armand, I have nothing against demonstrations.
I am
all for assembly. However, I will admit, in today's demonstrations, in my lifetime, there's no stakes like there were in the 60s.
There's no stakes in the labor movement. You got these leaders who are basically politicians and bureaucrats. They're not like these poor guys that were in the mines with their, you know,
oh, they're in the trenches.
Right, and the guy that they elect to be their representative, he's the guy that gets killed.
At least you can say you appreciated
that
type of labor.
That's different.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's when they were fighting.
That's what I wanted from you. Thank you.
But I'm not crazy about sit-down strikes and shut the factory down because you're not getting what you want. That smacks a little bit.
Well, labor has to have some recourse.
That's communism.
No, it's not.
You go on strike.
That communism? How in the world is that communism?
Hey, ask Sheriff Buford T. Justice.
He don't know shit.
Barbecue your ass in molasses.
Go ahead and order him a Diablo sandwich, would you?
He ain't got no hush puppies.
I had to look up what a Diablo sandwich
was. Yeah, we talked about it on this show.
Yeah.
Thank you, kind lady.
Thank you, kind lady. 1904, the United States begins construction of the Panama Canal.
Hmm. Well, they got it right. The French blew that one.
Well, they sure did.
That was Ferdinand de Lesseps. They should have thrown his ass in jail.
And they were going to try to put this through Nicaragua.
Yeah, well, that was the initial, you know.
But then we
do what we usually do. We told Panama to get the hell out of Colombia.
Yeah.
Then we can get it through Panama.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we give it back. Thanks, Jimmy Carter.
1932. This is the date that one of the greatest American mobsters to the clink. He heads to the clink for an 11-year prison sentence. That sentence is on tax evasion. Yeah. And it's Al Capone. Now, where did he go to jail? Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, initially, then they sent him to Alcatraz. But,
yeah.
Yeah, he took his syphilis spirochetes with him, you know.
He couldn't have liked Atlanta very much. Think of Al.
I think his ass kicked a little. No, I think
all
he
that
had a,
humidity in Atlanta.
I think he was okay down there. You know, he had some deference down there because, you know, he had still had connections. When he went to Alcatraz, when he got his ass kicked, I think.
Oh.
He was going a little nutty, too.
Had it set in at that point?
Yeah, well.
The early onset?
Later, yeah, later.
Okay.
They actually let him go. You know, he died in Florida, I think.
Well, his house is up for sale, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got
the Capone.
10, 20 grand, huh?
Well, I don't know what it's called. You know, down there on the coast.
And oh, I know he stayed in the Hawthorne Hotel in Cicero.
Yes. Well.
That's the one they sprayed with Bugs Moran sprayed with all the bullets. Try to take him out in the diner. Yep.
Well, he must have been living under a lucky star. My goodness. All those
Moran
assassinations.
Got away. He died
all those
naturally.
Assassinations that Capone just missed out on.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Hitler was luckier.
Speaking of Alcatraz.
But we know who the man who survived the most.
De Gaulle.
Charles de Gaulle.
Yes.
Yeah.
1946, out in San Francisco.
Yeah, speaking of Alcatraz.
Yes, the U.S. Marines, who are stationed out there in the bay on Treasure Island Naval Base, they're called in to stop a two-day riot at Alcatraz. Five people are killed in this riot. 1946.
That's not a bad riot, actually.
How
many were killed in Attica? Attica was more than that.
Oh, I thought like there were dozens killed.
A lot were
Attica,
killed.
Attica,
yeah,
right?
At least a dozen. I don't know. Attica riot. I got a new phone, so I can really.
Yeah, boy.
I hate spending that money, but you want to take a guess how many people died?
I'm going to say 19 died at Attica.
I'm going to go over.
Okay.
42 staff hostage. We died here. Date 33.
Over
33 prisoners.
The over has
and 10 officers. So
43.
Yep.
Oh,
and it was a big one. So there you go. This was kind of small beer compared to that one.
Yeah, it sure was. All right. One more before we break and do the birthdays. 1941. If you've ever wondered, and I've mentioned this
never
before.
Never heard of this one. I guess I have. You probably brought
Americans,
it up.
I know, have wondered about this because you're like, okay, what happens if a major league sports team goes down in an airplane crash?
We don't like to think about
it. No, it's horrible, right?
Yeah.
Well, this has happened in Europe before, most notably Manchester United's 1958 disaster.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
But the first one happened to the Torino football team in Italy, Torino, Italy. All but two players died, and those two players were not on the trip. They were left off the trip.
Lucky.
Coach's decision. They're killed in a plane crash.
Talk about good news and bad
news. Torino is one of the biggest and best teams. It's still a huge club, even to this day.
Even I've heard of that one.
Right, but they never really recovered from that.
So what do they do, draft from the other teams?
I don't know.
Probably had some kind of draft.
Back in my radio days, I don't even know if I'm supposed to say this. What? I have heard that there is a disaster plan.
Oh, I thought you would take responsibility for
this. No. For like Major League Baseball, what would happen if this happened? And it's pretty extreme. I just don't know if it's true.
Well, we got the Marshall football team. We got that Russian hockey team.
Russian hockey team, Marshall, Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State is a bad one.
Evansville.
Yeah. The Big Bopper. Right.
Well, yeah, true. Yeah. Buddy
who was the guy didn't get? Was it Waylon Jennings? Didn't get on there?
Didn't get on.
Yeah. He lucked out.
Patsy Cline died in airplane.
Patsy Cline. Harry Chapin, didn't he die in a plane crash?
I don't know.
John Denver.
All of the Polish government.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Man, that's not so long ago.
Harry Chapin. I think he died in a plane crash, too.
That's not so long ago. All right, who was born on May the 4th? Armand, I'm going to tell you what. I only have six names.
I got.
I need help, so you take it away.
Well, I'm just going
to. Because I don't start until 1928 with a man who you may like him, you may not like him, but as he exited stage left, he said something pretty prophetic.
Who?
Who? Speaking of.
Well, wait a minute. Are we? I'm ahead of you.
Yeah,
you are. I'm looking up Harry Chapin's death.
Yeah, you look that up. Who? How'd he die?
A car crash.
Car crash, James Dean style. There
Long Island Expressway.
Ooh.
I'll be damned. Okay. No, I got, before you get to your quotes, 1820,
yes.
Julia Gardner Tyler.
Julia Gardner, now she is the wife of
John
the president,
Tyler.
John Tyler.
10th president. A couple things about her. She was actually, he was the first president to be married while in office, although he didn't get married in the White House. Hmm. He did get married, first one to be married. He was like 30 years older than this gal. She was actually, her father.
I just saw a picture.
Oh, well, he was head over heels over her. Tyler was no, he was no bargain either.
They must have just thought something, they just must have had a different standard of beauty.
Well, he was in love with her. Anyway, her father was on the Princeton, I think we've discussed that,
yes.
where the turret blew up and killed the Secretary of State and the Navy and her father. Mm. So, yeah, that was Upshue, I think the guy's name,
okay.
Secretary of State. Oh, I got it written down. Upshue, yes. Thomas Walker, Secretary of State, and her father. And then she looked to Tyler for solace.
Yeah.
And she finally accepted his proposal. Interesting thing about her, she, even though they did, it was kind of a habit of playing Hail to the Chief.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of solidified that as,
the music
that we play. And I think the next one, Polk's wife, Sarah Childress. She
hey,
said, that's good.
Speaking
so
of first
it.
Ladies, I read an article this morning. A Secret Service agent had pinned sort of a tribute to Barbara Bush.
Oh, yeah. She died
about a week.
Let's see. Has it been a week ago?
Yeah, about
it's been
week,
a while.
A week or so. And he revealed her code name, Secret Service code name.
Okay.
And it was pretty fitting.
Uh-oh.
No, it's not bad.
Watch it.
It's not bad. Now, you know some of the most famous, like Reagan was.
I don't remember.
Rawhide.
Oh, it wasn't Rawhide? Okay.
Yeah.
Was that from General Electric Theater?
Yeah, something like right.
Anyway.
But hers was Tranquility.
Oh. Well, she seemed like... She's what, 92?
Very stable.
Long.
Very
unflappable.
Yeah, so
phlegmatic.
Nice.
All right.
So here's the thing. I wonder what code names would have been before the Secret Service. Like, what would have Mary Todd Lincoln's code name been?
Yeah. Extraterrestrial. God. Night voices. I don't know what the hell she would have been. Schizo. Anyway, I guess she wasn't that bad. But, Julia. And then I got a 1825, Thomas Huxley, otherwise known as Darwin's Bulldog. This guy's very famous, right? He was Aldous Huxley's...
father? Brother?
No, grandfather.
Grandfather.
And we know Aldous Huxley the day he died. Please.
Boy, this is a notable day. I know.
What date? 11-22-63.
The same as Kennedy.
That's correct.
And someone else very notable died.
D.H. Lawrence.
D.H. Lawrence.
Yeah. So
okay.
Anyway.
All right. I got some code names for you.
It's rather desultory, isn't it?
Okay. Well,
what's Clinton? Pimp?
Clinton's was a strange one. Let me see here. So, yeah, Reagan was Rawhide. George H.W. Bush was Timberwolf. This is Clinton's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eagle?
I don't know about that one. Yeah.
George W. Bush.
Sater, maybe.
George W. Bush was Tumblr, later changed to Trailblazer.
Yeah, I don't like either one.
Now, this one has Barbara's listed as turquoise, but I think this is wrong. Barack Obama, renegade. Oh, Trump's. This is good.
Yeah, what's he got?
Mogul.
Got a boy. Yeah, I'll go with that one.
Now, let's see. Now, Nancy Reagan was rainbow.
Oh, rainbow Nancy.
Uh-huh. No, here it is. Barbara Bush, snowbank or tranquility. Laura Bush was tempo. And who else do we have?
I was watching Dean Martin roast Ronald Reagan.
Fantastic.
You could just tell that guy had a great sense of humor, and he was just...
He could laugh at himself.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter was Lockmaster or Deacon.
When's that guy going to die? Jesus Christ.
Richard Nixon was Searchlight.
He's immortal.
Searchlight.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't like any of them, really.
Hold on here. Harry S. Truman was General or Super Vice. Dwight Eisenhower, scorecard. John F. Kennedy.
Uh-oh.
Lancer.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Lyndon Johnson. I don't get this one at all. Volunteer.
Yeah, volunteer. All right.
But Patricia Nixon Cox, she was Sugarfoot. Boy, there's some good code names in here. Might have to post these.
Let's get on with this.
Yeah, let's get on with
post it.
It.
What are we? Oh, we're talking about Thomas Huxley.
Thomas Huxley, the grandfather of.
He had a famous debate. Well, Aldous Huxley was his grandson, but he had a famous debate with Soapy Sam Wilberforce, who, let's see, Disraeli. Yeah, he was.
Soapy Sam Wilberforce.
Yeah, he was called Soapy Sam because Disraeli called him. What he's called, saponaceous, oleaginous, and unctuous.
Do you think Disraeli ever knew he'd have an album named after him?
No, probably not, since they hadn't invented that yet.
Prime Minister, someday all the kids in England will be listening to a phonograph recording with the title Disraeli's Gears.
Oh, okay. The Earl of Beaconsfield. That's Benjamin. But anyway, they were debating evolution, you know.
Ah.
Yeah. Oxford, 1860s. That was famous. Kind of a, this guy was, he propounded the agnosticism branch of philosophy.
Okay.
That's Thomas Huxley, Darwin's Bulldog.
Darwin's.
Now there's a, there's a nickname for
Darwin's
it.
Darwin's Bulldog.
All right, now you want to talk about Hosni Mubarak?
Yeah, so born in 1928, he was an air marshal and the fourth president of Egypt. Now, while the Arab Spring ultimately was his undoing and his unseating, what he said on the way out the door remains prophetic. You're going to bring democracy? Be careful what you wish for.
That's right. Okay. Well,
and
I don't know. In Egypt, it's not so bad.
No,
I
mean, you know, Egypt,
he's all right.
Egypt has been okay, but the Muslim Brotherhood was...
a democracy, if you can keep it.
Elected, and...
I like Mubarak. He was all right. He's still around. He's like 90,
he's still
90
alive,
today.
Living
holy
in
shit. Okay.
Exile,
well,
I
good
guess.
Good for him.
1929, I didn't realize she was Belgian, Armand.
Yeah.
The Belgian-British actress.
Some kind of Belgian royalty, too.
Yeah.
Her mother was like a baronet
How
or something.
How about that? Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah. A couple things about her. She, not one of my favorite actresses, but she won the Academy Award for, and this is, she, Jennifer Jones, and Anne Bancroft all won the Academy Award on their first nomination and never won again. So that's kind of a trivia question. Spoke five languages. Liked to be clad by Givenchy. That was kind of his mannequin. She was supposed to be Gigi in the movie, but that was she got she turned it down and it went to what's her name, that little French gal. The gal that was in American in Paris.
Oh, you got me.
I'll think of it. Anyway, she left her Academy Award in the powder room. She was so excited. She had to go back and get it. She spoke five languages, smoked three packs of cigarettes a day, died of appendicular cancer of the appendix, apparently. And she's got the record for presenting the most Academy Awards to Best Picture winners.
Oh, that's
four.
That's something.
Yep.
Okay, so here's why you think she is of some aristocratic
mean.
Yes. Her father, born with the surname Rustin, later double-barreled his name to Hepburn Rustin, mistakenly believing himself descended from James Hepburn, third husband of...
Oh, Mary Queen of Scots.
There you go, Armand.
Sure, James Hepburn.
Mistaken.
The Earl of...
Hepburn's mother, though, was Baroness Ella von Heemstra, a Dutch noblewoman.
Yeah, and she's no relation to Catherine Hepburn.
No.
Who apparently, I don't know, though, I mean, she was supposedly... Hepburn was the Earl of Bothwell.
Mm.
James Hepburn, the Earl of Bothwell. Anyway, what else? Oh, she had a pretty tough time during the war. She's eating, you know, like making grass into, you know, eating grass and stuff like that. So she had a pretty rough.
I think she also changed sort of the feminine appeal.
I don't like her neck. Get that long,
she
thin
is
neck.
So tiny, and like, you and I both prefer the buxom bombshells.
She was no
of
Diana
the
Doors, who I think it was her birthday today.
Give me
too.
Marilyn Monroe. Give me
Diana Doors.
Yeah,
Mamie Van Doren.
Give me Mamie Van Doren. Give me
who's the other? Jane Mansfield.
Jane Mansfield. Is Nita Ekberg? Did I say that one?
Nita Ekberg. Yeah. Ursula Andress.
Well, she's Scandinavian. A little thinner. Give me the full bodied. Women, let's not play around with toothpicks. No. I always want to tell, eat a sandwich, Audrey. It won't hurt you. It won't kill you.
She was pretty good in Wait Until Dark, where she played the blind woman. Hmm. Richard Crenna was in that.
I like Richard Crenna.
Alan Arkin was a real asshole in that one.
Well, he plays that role in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Does it really well. If you ever saw Little Miss Sunshine?
Yeah, well, he was an asshole.
He nailed that one.
Yeah, well, he won the Academy Award for that.
He's awesome.
Poor grandpa. Oh, he didn't make it.
Didn't make it, no. Died in the back of a VW.
Yeah, he had a
van.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not actually.
Hauled him around like Mitt Romney's dog. Yeah.
Oh, my. Hey, Surf Rock. Surf Rock legend born on this date, 1937. Dick Dale.
What's he?
Dick
Beach
Dale
Boys
and Deltones?
Oh, Deltones? Okay.
Hold on here. You've never heard of Dick Dale? I'm not going to play
anything. Oh, yeah, I was
going
to say it.
I don't want to insult your sensibilities on the music front.
Impossible.
Yeah. He's known as the king of the surf guitar. Yep.
What song did he do with it? I should know.
Well, let's see here. Career. Leo Fender kept giving him amps, and Dick there kept blowing him up. So.
Oh, Leslie Caron was the French woman in America. That's the one that plays Gigi, of course.
Yeah.
And she was eating dirt and stuff during the war, too.
Let's see.
She had it pretty rough.
We'll Never Hear the End of It, St. Louis Blues, Let's Go Trippin', Jungle Fever, Ms. Relou, Peppermint Man, King of the Surf Guitar, Surfing and a Swingin', Scavenger, The Wedge, Mr. Eliminator. You've probably heard that one. Wild Wild Mustang. Any of these ringing a bell?
St.
Surf
Louis Blues.
Rock, baby. Surf rock.
Okay. All right. If you say so.
You got nothing. Armand, sometimes you're surprised.
I have nothing to add.
I know you'll know this next guy, yeah. 1941, the birth of a journalist and author. You see him on Sunday morning talk shows
not
for
anymore.
The last 30 years.
I don't watch him
not
anymore.
Much more, but
George
Will.
Yeah, he's a little smug for me.
A little smug? But yeah. You would agree with a lot of what he puts out there, right?
I don't know about him.
You don't?
Not really.
Okay.
No,
all
know.
Right. Now, this
Things
next...
Things get out of Afghanistan. I'll agree with that.
Yeah, the next one I know you'll know. They call her an actress. They call her a singer.
I can't name one movie she's been in, though.
Butterfly. Okay. She's neither. Pia Zadora.
Right.
Now, in the 80s, there was Bo Derek. If that was A-level, you move down to, like... B, C level.
Brooke Shields?
But Brooke didn't do.
Susan Anton?
No, well, she didn't do it either. You know what I'm saying. Tanya Roberts would, but
what?
She was like D level.
Like a Bond girl?
No, like full nudity
on
screen.
She?
Yeah.
Oh.
Pia would.
Okay.
Pia used to be a staple on early cable.
Okay. Was she good looking? I can't even place
11
her.
O'clock.
All right.
And 1978.
Well, speaking of that, isn't she the one that this next gal, they got her naked?
In her hotel room. Yeah.
Did you see the pictures? Are they on the internet? Can I see those?
I don't know if they are or not. But Erin Andrews, who is now with Fox Sports, sideline reporter.
What happened with that? She sued somebody?
She did. She sued, and I think she won.
Okay.
Good for her. Total invasion of her privacy.
Well, now what happened? How'd they get somebody in
the
hotel?
They were able to
film
through the peephole in her room, and they caught her walking around.
Wow.
Sans.
That's ballsy.
Sans clothing. Yep.
Okay. Oh, I got a special one. Alice Liddell.
Liddell. Chuck's sister?
No.
Oh, who?
She was born in 1850.
All right.
She was actually the inspiration for Through the Looking Glass. And
Alice? That's Alice?
Yeah, that was Lewis Carroll had a thing for her. She's 11 years old, and he wanted to marry her.
God.
Yeah, so he's a pervert. Yep. Uh-oh.
Must have been a different time.
Probation violation.
Must have been a different time.
Well,
all right, back to the events. Let's wrap things up here. 1953. Hey, this is the day that Hemingway wins the Pulitzer Prize for The Old Man and the Sea.
Which
I enjoy reading, but the movie sucked.
I don't know about that. I didn't think it was that bad.
Was it great?
I don't know if... I don't know. I think that was his last. No, it wasn't his last.
No,
he got nominated
no.
for the Academy Award.
No, his,
Spencer
his,
Tracy.
His last.
Well, his nomination. I'm talking about his
nomination.
I think he was nominated for Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which
yes,
was the last
he was.
Movie.
Actually, Clooney tells a pretty funny
and
story.
And Judgment at Nuremberg, too.
About old Spencer. He said most people, they know where their marks are on the set, and they don't really have any trouble hitting them. He goes, if you watch Look Who's Coming to Dinner. There are scenes where Spencer just walks around the set with his head down, clearly looking for the mark, finding it, stepping on it, and then looking up and giving his line.
Well, yeah. Well, they practically had to haul him onto the stage. You know, that poor old guy died like 2 weeks after it was over.
Oh man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was in bad shape. He wasn't even that old. He was like 67.
No, he wasn't. No,
he's a boozer. He had a lot of problems.
1959 is the first time the first annual Grammys are held.
Oh, Volare. I think that was the first.
Volare.
Yeah, that one. That was like the best.
Now, was that a Dino original?
No, it wasn't Dean Martin?
Yeah.
No.
No. Who did?
I don't know.
Who composed Volare?
Oh, I don't know, but the band was some foreign job.
Oh, I say so, yeah.
Volare. Let's see, we got sung by Dean Martin, but I don't think that's the one that, let's see, Grammy winner.
Oh.
I don't think Grammy, here we go.
Boy, this one has been covered how many times, do you think?
Well, the host was Mort Saul. You believe that? How do you like that one?
Nel Blue, Dipinto yeah, de Blue.
Yeah, Domingo Madugna. Madugno?
You know what Madugno. That means? Nel Blue, Dipinto de Blue. Something. In the blue, that is painted blue.
All right,
that's a hell of a lyric,
like
Armand.
Yeah. Domenico Madugno. Madugno.
Yeah, I'm looking at him
Song
here.
Song of the year.
Yeah.
Peter Gunn? Well, that's a good one. Album of the year, Henry Mancini. Peter Gunn.
So written by Franco Migliacci and Domenico Madugno.
Migliacci, I would think.
Migliacci?
Probably.
Migliacci,
oh,
yeah.
Well,
released February the 1st, 1958. But, yeah, wins the first Grammy, correct?
I guess. Enough awards, huh? Jeez. Okay.
Out of all the award shows, I hardly ever watch the Grammys.
I don't watch any of them, but the People's Choice, the ESPY. Yeah,
I don't
how
care
many
for
stupid
it.
Awards? Ugh, anyway, don't get me started. We don't have time for my rant.
61, Civil Rights Movement. This is the day the Freedom Riders begin their bus trip through the South. Notable date.
Yeah, they probably took some beatings, too.
They was not without risk.
Yeah.
1970, one of the most famous pictures in American history is snapped on this day. This and a song gets penned about this day, May the 4th.
Four Dead in Ohio.
That's Four Dead
Ohio
in Ohio.
By Neil Young.
The National Guard sent to Kent State after disturbances in the city of Kent the weekend before. They end up opening fire
and
killing
them?
Four unarmed students and wounding nine others.
Yeah, that was kind of an overreaction.
You've all seen the picture, I'm sure, of the Kent State student, you know, kneeling down, arms outstretched over. Here's a little... You know, there's a famous football coach who was there on that day and walked out of the cafeteria when that was occurring.
Well, that figures.
Nick Saban.
Oh, Saban was there?
Nick Saban and Gary Pinkel.
Wow.
Were players at Penn State, and this goes down, and everyone
the
goes
hell
out.
What were they doing at Kent State?
They were players.
Oh, at Kent State.
Kent State.
You said Penn State.
I'm sorry. Kent State.
They were
players at Kent State. And Nick was from West Virginia, so Kent State's not too far away.
No.
And Pinkel, who coached at
Missouri, yeah.
was, and he also coached at Toledo. He's a Ohio guy. And so everybody goes, well, what the heck's going on? So they come out, and there it is.
Right.
It's all in front of them. So.
Yeah, it was excessive. Excessive force.
That was a bad day in American history.
But here's a good day.
This is an interesting day for a lot of reasons.
It's a great day.
But we introduce to the world stage the Iron Lady, Thatcher, Margaret, becomes the first female prime minister of the United Kingdom.
And her husband, Dennis.
1979.
Yep. Good gal. I like her.
Dennis didn't get a lot of attention, did he?
Well, he kind of stayed out of it. He was the proper kind of husband. He minded his own business.
You would have liked to have been first husband. Of,
damn right I would have. Boy, I'd be getting laid.
It's a good gig, man. Getting laid.
Boy, would I be cheating.
Boy, the tabloids.
You know where she is all the time. How are you going to get caught?
Yeah, turn on the news.
Yeah.
Oh, the tabloids had a field day with you.
She's in France, huh? Good.
Yeah. You would have owned stock in the Daily Mirror, the Sun,
man.
All those,
10 Downing
all those yellow rags.
I'd have turned 10 Downing Street into the Playboy Mansion.
1989, 10 years later, after Thatcher. Former White House aide,
Ollie
North. Well, he's convicted of three crimes, but he's acquitted of nine other charges.
Not bad.
Later, the convictions.
75%?
Yeah, the convictions would be overturned on appeal. And then Oliver North would discover cable news and actually go on to a pretty decent career in cable news.
He's doing great. But I mean, this is.
Now, who was his
Poindexter?
No. Who was his...
Fawn Hall?
Fawn Hall.
Oh, yeah, she's a pretty hot piece of ass.
Not to be confused with Fawn Leibowitz.
No, no.
Who died in a giant kiln explosion.
Yes, that's
Emily
that's
Dickinson
apocryphal,
College.
By the way, yes.
1990, Latvia proclaims their independence.
All right. They, well,
after
I
Soviet
guess they were
occupation.
Second. I think Lithuania was first.
Lithuania was first out
Latvia,
the door.
Latvia, capital of Riga.
The Baltic states
who was the
had
wizard
had
of,
enough.
Who was the wizard of Riga?
Oh, shit.
The chess player. Mikhail Tal.
Mikhail Tal.
Yep.
Okay. The Wizard of Riga.
I believe he's the only guy to have a winning record against Bobby Fischer in tournament play.
Okay, which of those Baltic states is Vilnius? The
Estonia.
Estonia.
No, wait, Lithuania. Estonia is Tallinn.
That's
Lithuania
right.
Lithuania is Vilnius.
Vilnius and Riga. Those are my three
yeah,
Baltic
I had a character
capitals,
name.
Right?
Yeah, okay. Dr. Vilnius.
1994.
Yitzhak.
Well, Yitzhak is on the scene. That's Rabin to you and me, Russ, the Israeli prime minister. He gets together with PLO leader Yasser Arafat, and they sign a peace accord. Now, this accord grants self-rule in the Gaza Strip and Jericho. Yeah, that's not working out so well.
You ever see that bit on Johnny Carson where he's Reagan, and the guy's his press secretary goes, you know, who's outside waiting for me? Yasser. Well, yeah, I remember he's going, and the Prime Minister of Japan, Prime Minister of China, who? What, who's there?
Who,
Yasser?
Sir? Yasser.
Yeah, it's like, and then James Watt's waiting for you, you know.
Who? They, Watt?
Watt. No, Watt.
They did a little Abbott and Costello.
Yasser. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Anyway, but he wasn't a funny guy. He burned in hell.
Who wasn't?
Yasser Arafat. He wins the Nobel Peace Prize, though. What a guy. This guy. When's this other guy got a kickoff? What's his name? Assad? Assad, right? Isn't that his name?
The Syrian leader?
Not Assad. Abbas. He's a PLO guy, right? Abbas?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, he's getting ready to. He's not in good health, thank God.
Yeah.
What is this fight?
I don't know what you're saying. Good.
What am I saying?
Yeah, what do you.
The poor Jews are, man, they're persecuted as hell. It's always their fault. You can never give the Palestinians enough.
5,000 years, it's always been their fault.
Yeah, longer than that even, I think.
Okay, 6,000.
Yeah.
Where do you want me to stop?
Stop today. Man.
Going backwards.
Well,
and they get
kicked
out of Egypt.
Stop persecuting, and they're looking for peace. They're peaceful people. They just keep giving and giving. There's just no satisfying.
I can find a lot of Palestinians who are going to disagree with you.
I know
you want
will.
Me to go get you one?
Oh. Yeah, I don't think she's here right now. Yeah, she's an American.
1998, this is the date in Sacramento, California, that a federal judge gets around to sentencing the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, to 4 life sentences plus 30 years after life.
Ooh, that hurts.
That's just rubbing salt in the
wound. Yeah, you'd have to tack the 30 on. Come on. That's cruel and unusual.
I mean, now Ted did accept a plea agreement.
Three life terms, 15.
Well, it spared him the death penalty.
Yeah, right.
Little did he know if he would have just taken the death penalty.
He'd probably still be alive. Oh, yeah, he'd get out.
He'd
probably live longer, man, on death row. The food's better, too. All right.
But anyway, have you watched? There is a great series.
Wish I had his mathematical skills.
Boy, I know he's a bad guy. But damn.
Yeah.
Now, there's a series on, I think it's called Mindhunter. I could be wrong about this, folks. So don't
sounds
quote
like
me.
Another presidential code name.
It does sound like a code name, where the FBI sort of advanced investigation team is tracking him. You know how they found him though was through
his brother gave him away. Didn't
well,
he?
It's true. Closed the deal, but they really determined where he was from through linguistic analysis. By the way he wrote, they were able to narrow it down that he was educated either at Northwestern University or the University of Chicago because he wrote in the Chicago style.
What would that be? D-A instead of T-H-E?
No. That's speech for if you live in Cicero or
the
Berwyn.
Bears.
Right. The Bears. Right. No. Haven't you ever, the Chicago method? You're a writer. You've never...
I didn't know if that's that style.
It's pretty codified.
All right.
And Northwestern is one of the great journalism schools in America. So they were Just by the way he wrote those.
Yeah, but the guy's a math major, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Right. But still, I mean, look, if you're a math major, chances are you can also write.
Yeah, but would you be inculcated in the Northwestern style?
Enough. All you have to do is pick up.
All right.
You know, because
I don't know. My genius is completely unique.
Yeah, it is. Everyone's still trying to figure it out.
That's right. Same with Van Gogh.
Why don't you cut off
100 years after I'm dead.
Then we'll recognize.
Well, find me
that Armand. He was smart.
Find me a whore to fall in love with me. And I'll cut my ear off for her. I don't know. I got one in jail. Like if I don't want to do. I know I'm going to get a call. I need money. She needs to be bailed out.
Armand's online dating life, folks.
Yeah.
It should be its own podcast.
No, I've already banged this one.
Oh, stop it. All right. I only have two deaths today as
we wrap
things up. So, Armand, would you?
1955, George Enescu, who's a composer. He's got one piece that you'll probably hear. It's called, and it's pretty good, Romanian Rhapsody, number one.
Romanian Rhapsody?
Yeah, and he's Romanian, so that makes sense.
Not to be confused with Bohemian Rhapsody.
No, not that. That's Freddie Jupiter.
Close.
Yeah. He's one of those planets.
Mercury.
Yes, that's right. All right, so who was born in, you know where he was born?
George Enescu or
no,
Freddie?
No, Freddie Mercury.
Oh, he was born in Africa, I think.
Zanzibar,
Yeah, that's right. Zanzibar.
Last place you'd think he'd be born.
No. Okay. Nick Price was Zimbabwean. Ernie Els is South African.
They're not Freddie Mercury. I don't know. Golfers, yeah.
What?
Not gay singers.
I'm sure he's not the only gay singer that was born in Zanzibar.
The only gay singer born in Africa.
No.
I'll stake my life on it.
No, not a chance. Not a chance.
All right. Now let's get to a real
now
star.
We got a real one. Boy.
Moses Horowitz.
We moan the passing of Moses Horowitz, better known as Mo Howard, who passed on this date.
Dead with, aim with a pie,
with
apparently.
A brick, a pie, and two fingers to the eye.
That's right.
Boop, 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 boop. In 1975.
Mickey Moe. I'll show you some mayhem. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess he's my favorite. He's pretty funny. My favorite stooge.
He teed it up, though, man.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. Anybody got hit with a pie, you can bank on it. Was Mo throwing it? Because he could either hand apparently could hit you.
He was an ambidextrous pie thrower.
Damn right he was.
I love it.
Yeah, couldn't beat a Mo with a pie.
And how did you think they insured the Stooges? Because
I don't know if they had any insurance. Because you know there were all kinds of guys getting hurt on those.
They had to be.
He almost choked. No, it was Curly almost choked to death when they were eating those crab shells in Pain in the Pullman. Remember that? Mo's eating. I like these little points. Yeah, I like these little points. I don't like the stuffing. Larry. Oh,
man, I don't great. Like the stuffing.
What is it? It's a spider. It's a title.
Oh,
I just love crab. Show the title. Yeah, that's my favorite. Pain in the Pullman. 20 minutes of sheer joy. That's, man, Mo's great.
God, what a life, those guys.
Yeah.
I hope they were happy.
Yeah, it's kind of tragic. Curly died. He was, you know, he was sad.
Know.
I buried two brothers. He was
all
depressed. Curly and Shemp died.
Yep. All right. Final death.
I think
for
Larry.
Me.
A year later or something. He was right around there. They're within a few months of each other.
2009.
I got 1980. Marshall Tito. I mean, you got to.
Oh, Tito.
Yeah.
The man who
kept Broz.
Yeah, the man who kept the Soviets out of Yugoslavia, basically.
Well, not that anybody wanted it, but
no, they did. Yugoslavia's very nice.
He was the guy from the non-aligned states.
That's right.
I guess you would call that.
And he kept those Slavs together.
Yeah.
Because years after he's gone, all hell breaks loose.
Balkanized, which is only fitting because they're in the Balkans. But, I guess you'd call that Second World because, you know, when you had the Third World and the First World, what was the Second World? That was a Warsaw Pact. So
that's the way I learned it, didn't you? Right?
I put Yugoslavia, but I don't know about Yugoslavia.
Was it a
Eastern
Warsaw
Europe,
Pact
probably,
country?
It wasn't.
It was a weird fringe country.
No, it was even weirder. It was Albania. They were
allied
with China.
That's definitely,
how'd that happen?
That's definitely weirder. That's a whole.
You got to invade those guys.
Another conversation.
You got to make them put a flower in your turret. Whew. All right. So anyway, that Tito, he fought the Nazis, and that's where he made his. You know,
my uncle would go to Yugoslavia in the 80s, but then it reached a point where his cousin, which would be my grandmother's cousin, my great uncle said, "Don't come." It's
well, things got a little,
and then it got ugly. Really got
he
ugly.
Died in 80. Well, now you got Macedonia, you got Bosnia Herzegovina, you got
Slovenia,
mm-hmm. you know, you
Croatia,
got Croatia. Yep.
Yep. They still don't get along.
The Kosovo. Mm-hmm. They got their problems. You got Muslims, you got Christians, you're going to have problems.
My great grandfather was born in Pristina, Kosovo.
Oh, yeah, that's Kosovo, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Before immigrating to
I think they have a map on their flag, right? Isn't that the
I don't know.
Flag? Yeah, they have a map of the country on there.
I have to check. Sad death for me in 2009. I love this man. He's a little different.
Oh, well, not one of my favorites, but not bad.
One of the great comedic teams. He was half of it.
Captain Chaos?
Captain Chaos. JJ?
Him doesn't him like it when you
is
talk.
Is coming.
Like, yeah, see, there's a flag of Kosovo with the map.
Just in case you forgot.
Yeah, him.
Him is coming, JJ.
Yes.
Dum, dum, dum.
The first one was okay. The second one,
Well, it did have Frank Sinatra in it.
Yeah, it was his last movie,
last
by the way.
Last movie was Cannonball Run 2.
It was awful. Eesh. Charles Nelson Reilly.
That was...
Yeah, but the first one was amusing.
First one was better than amusing.
Yeah, Roger Moore.
Oh,
I'm Roger Moore.
Reprising himself.
Who?
Yes. Early appearance by Jackie Chan.
Yeah, right. Watching that porn movie. Watching
Behind the Green Door
behind
is
the
what
green
he's
door,
watching.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was Richard Kiel in there with him.
Oh.
And that was in the second one, I guess. Richard Kiel was in the second. Because that other Japanese guy. That was in the second one.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was
in
that one, too. But he kicked Peter Fonda's ass, remember?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Bert Convy was in it. Bert Convy.
So, I'm trying.
He died young, too.
Of all the Dom DeLuise.
He wasn't bad in The End. Remember that?
The End, he was very good. I do like the end of Blazing Saddles, though, where he is the director on the set.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I hate that movie. We had a trivia contest the other day, and they asked what's the name of the town, and I missed it again. The second time.
High Ridge.
Rockridge.
Yeah. All right. Rockridge.
Well, you would have missed it, too. Yeah. That makes me feel better.
Good.
I knew it was Rock something. I just couldn't think of it.
Rockridge.
So that's, I don't know why they asked that dumb question about that dumb movie.
I thought he was one of the great Tonight Show guests.
He was actually in
Dom DeLuise.
He's funny. I liked it. But he was actually in a serious movie called Failsafe.
I remember that.
Might have been his first movie. Yeah, he was that sergeant. He was in he was talking about the mechanism to take down the Vulcan, the Vindicators. Remember that?
I kind of
Dom DeLuise.
Yeah,
that. It was a serious.
Just listen to these titles, though. Cannonball Run.
Yeah, that
Blazing
was
Saddles. Mm. History of the World Part 1.
Not bad.
Silent Movie.
Yeah.
Not good.
Well, I liked it.
Spaceballs.
No.
Fatso.
I don't recall.
Cannonball Run 2.
Mm, yep.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah,
2.
Yeah, Smokey the right. Yeah, he was the elephant doctor, wasn't he?
Yes,
yeah,
he
that's
was.
Right.
The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Oh, okay.
The Muppet Movie.
Yeah.
Hot Stuff. Oh,
Hot Stuff.
Yeah, Hot Stuff was a.
He was pretty good on the Dean Martin roast too.
Yes, he was. What else do I got? Come on, Dom. I think that's it. That's the notable.
Yeah, he's pretty funny.
But Failsafe, Armand.
Yeah.
Now, that's a good one you mentioned.
Was that his first movie?
I think it was. It could be. It's 1964.
Yeah.
It looks like Dr. Strangelove.
Well, yeah, it came out. Because
it came out the same year.
Yeah, I think it came out afterwards, and that's why it kind of lost a lot of its
oomph. This is, and it's directed by?
Sidney Pollack, I think. Or
nope.
Sidney Lumet.
Yep, Lumet.
Sidney Lumet.
Yep.
Walter Matthau was good in that movie. Remember when he slapped that gal? he didn't take any shit.
But they have they got the scenes in the bomber,
That was Edward Benz, who was the pilot. Henry Fonda.
You got Henry Fonda.
Larry Hagman.
Uh-huh.
What
from Dragnet?
Jack Webb?
I think so. Not
I remember
him.
No, Dan O'Hurley.
It looks like that. It's the drawing of Matthau makes him look like Jack Webb, but it's Matthau.
Dan O'Hurley was in it.
Rotten Tomatoes, 5 stars, 95% rating.
That's a good movie.
It's a really good one. Yeah, if you've seen Strangelove, you owe it to yourself to watch Failsafe.
Yeah, it takes totally different tack,
to be sure, but they similar material. Yes. All right.
All right.
All right, Armand.
All right.
Well,
so
Dom DeLuise.
Cinco de Mayo Eve.
We say, say happy Cinco de Mayo to you tomorrow, but that'll do it for May 4th here on This Day in History. Thank you, Armand. And thank you, producer Andrew Allen, for setting us up and teeing us up. Folks, don't forget, subscribe through Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Podbean. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com, This Day in History Podcast. And also, you can follow us on Twitter, History_podcast, and on Instagram. Well, we will be back with you on May the 7th. So when May 7th rolls around, we will be here to tell you about it at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.